I'm talking about something which doesn't immediately seem Samba related. Do you know Knoppix? Who does not know Knoppix? Everybody knows it. Okay. So I'm talking about it because we intended to have a Knoppix here, a special edition of Knoppix, to give it out to all participants. Unfortunately, the idea was very short term and the time didn't wasn't enough to prepare everything, so you'll get a Knoppix later. We'll send home to you and it will have a few Samba goodies on it. One of the things is that the Knoppix now has integrated a utility which installs, where is it? Which installs a PDF printer. Now, you could say, well, on Knoppix is KDE, and KDE has a PDF printer already built in. But that's a different one, because that only works locally, and it works independent of any printing system. This one has the option to export it via Samba, which means, if you do it, you have a running Knoppix and a PDF server for the network for all Windows clients available. This version is using the very simple setup, which is already known, and a lot of people use it, and there's the occasional question every few weeks on the Samba mailing list, how to set it up or how to set it up best. This is the way to set it up via CUPS. I'll just show you how it works, and from there you can learn it, how you implement it on your real system. Because if you start it, you will be asked if you really agree, and if you say yes, it goes on. You can choose a name for your PDF printer, you can choose a directory, any you like. It will be created. If you don't say anything, it will use the default one, which is called PDFs and in the Knoppix home directory. If you don't choose a name for the new CUPS printer, it will also use a default one, which is called PDF service. Now that printer is created inside CUPS, and in the next stage, you will be asked, do you want to export it via Samba? You can do it. Which then starts Samba on the system if Samba is not yet started. Well, I have started it. No, I need to set the password. That means I haven't started it. So let's choose Knoppix as a password here. Please remind me if I forget it later. We will have to reuse it a few times because there's more to come. Ah. Okay, next question, because I start Samba, do I want to export all my hard drives? I don't want to do it now. And now it goes on to, the last section was just starting Samba and setting a password. Now I export that one share, that PDF drive, printer share. That's why I have to repeat my Samba password. Okay, new printer was created, it is shared, and Windows clients can use it via point and print. And do you want to see it, if it works for the Windows clients? Because this machine is running, the Knoppix is running inside a VMware, and we could look if we can connect to that new printer now. I will show you something more about printing and how you can use Knoppix, that release of Knoppix, that special release, because it contains the first beta version of a script which is able to snatch all printer drivers from one server and upload it to another server. Of course, this is meant to be a migration tool or migration utility, so you spend less time installing printer drivers. Somehow, probably, like I don't know, did I start NMDB? Okay, we look at the PDF printer later. Let's go on to the script, which you will find on that Knoppix version. Because we can first of all ask how many drivers are there now installed. You know the RPC client command, which will probably change soon. I log into the Knoppix and ask it for its drivers. Enum drivers. Should give me now the info that the PDF service driver is exported and available for Windows clients. I could also now ask how many drivers has my host operating system? And it takes the time to gather all the information, and you can see here it's quite a few. And if we word count it, well, let's first sort it. It's 59. Now, I had recently, a few weeks ago, the task to move one print server to another machine. That was just on Windows. That machine had more than 100 drivers. It took me 2 days to install all the drivers. And there were problems with some of them because the install disks were not, the install CDs were not available anymore, etc., etc. So this was the last kick for me to start a little project which I had intended to start long ago, to write a script which takes all those drivers from one server and uploads it to another server. This script would work from Windows to Windows, from Samba to Samba, or from Windows to Samba, which is, of course, the main intention. And I'm going to show how it works. I'm still looking for a name of it. It's something like doing the vampire stuff like Volker's utility does for the getting all the accounts from a Windows NT server and put it into Samba. It is a very, very ugly shell script. Probably using Perl would be much better, but I'll show you on what it is based. Let's go back to that thing. Because if we use that command with another level 3, you will see what Jerry's utility gives us as information about printer drivers, which are somewhere on a Samba or on a Windows print server. Do you see all this? Now, for instance, this is a driver with a certain name, has spaces in it, and all the files are named and what the path to the files are, which make up that driver. And to get those files from an NT server and upload them to another server, you have to filter out somehow all this information. Probably Perl or Python or Ruby would be better suited to do that, but I don't know it, so I had to rely on Shell. And it has already some documentation, probably now not interesting to read it, but when you see it, I'm not yet sure in what shape it will be, probably I'll invent a better interface for it. You will have, if you source this script or this file, you have a few functions. And the first one is to enumerate all functions, and if you now follow all those steps which are outlined here, in the end you will have successfully somehow transferred the driver files. I put this now in another script. Which I called the RAN script. And you see, it calls all those functions here. But first of all, it sources another file. It sources the nt-host smb-host text file. This file contains some variables, because you need to log in to the two servers. So it contains the names of the two servers, the one which is the source and the one which is the target. And of course, you need to have admin passwords, etc. You will see those passwords now going across the screen if I start it. I set them to some easy values now. Please remind me to reset it later. And we can see how long it takes. I write a log with it when it runs, so we can see it on screen, and we can later read it in the log if something went wrong. Now, this first function, fetch, could fail. I don't know why. Sometimes you need to try twice or three times, because not always the login succeeds. But now, you see a lot of things happening, and of course, getting the files, etc. There are a few known weaknesses in the script. First of all, some driver files, some driver names have slashes in them. And my script distributes all the driver files into their own subdirectories with the names of the driver files. So if the driver file has a slash in it, I can't use that as a name, so I rename, in that case, the driver and use an underscore instead, and the uploaded driver will also be renamed, but that doesn't matter a lot. Another thing which I fixed yesterday evening is that if you use SMB client to say, get me this driver file, which is very often spelled uppercase, if you ask per RPC client for the list of all drivers, then you might get back a file which is spelled lowercase. And in that case, you have to upload it either with lowercase or rename it before uploading. What I do here is I rename it before uploading, which also doesn't matter a lot. Anyway, instead of 2 days moving these many drivers from one old Windows box to a newer Windows box, where I had then 10 drivers missing because I didn't find the CDs, I could have, with that script, I could have done it in 20 minutes and with no missing CDs, because it, to my knowledge, it works, at least if it is run from the Knoppix. If you want to test it, or if you want to move it to Perl or Python, you are welcome to help to do it. If you want to put a GUI around it, that would also be very comfortable, because you could just select a few individual drivers which you want to download and upload somewhere else. And it could be a very useful tool for migrating the print services. Because so far, as I know, a lot of people don't really do it because they don't know how to do it and because it's quite a complicated thing. So the complication is a bit taken away, and if you read the shell script code, you can see what it does, and maybe you understand more about Samba's RPC printing after you've done it. Okay, it will take about 10 minutes here, because it's, as you saw, it was 59 drivers. We can later check if all the drivers are really uploaded to the Samba host. What else could I show you in the meantime about this this Knoppix you will get? It will have talks on it. The talks, those talks and slides which were held here, all those who are coming in time or which are already here, those talks will be in a non-compressed version, so you can put in the CD without booting it and see it from, can access the talks from any operating system. As you know, the Knoppix has a compressed image, and it's worth of 2 gigabytes of software which is on it, because normally a CD only takes 700 megabytes, but the compression is a ratio of nearly 3-to-1. What it also has now new, if you look into this menu, it has support for TV cards, which is quite old, but you can save the Knoppix configuration somewhere to a USB stick or whatever, wherever. You can create a persistent Knoppix home directory, which also could be an USB stick or some writable file or partition. You can install extra software, even if it's running from CD. This will be installed into RAM disk. And will be lost if you reboot, or you can install it if you have another writable partition. The WaveLAN configuration works quite well now. GPRS connection works now. The other things are known, they are old. New thing is setting up the PDF printer. Maybe you don't know the terminal server feature. And the Samba is now really working in a way that you can upload drivers also from the Ad Printer Wizard of Windows into the Knoppix. Of course, you need a bit of RAM for it to work. Like here, if you run the script from the Knoppix and you don't have a permanent partition, a home partition like I have here now in the VMware, these 60 drivers take about, I guess, 200 megabytes of data. So this will fill up your RAM disk and your RAM if you try to run the script against a server which has a lot of drivers on it. Then what is very new is this utility, because it allows you to write NTFS, to write to NTFS partitions. And what it does, it uses the Microsoft NTFS driver, because it scans if there's really the Microsoft driver there, and it It uses a wrapper around that driver to really let the original driver write, do the write access. Okay, it should be finished soon. We can look what we've gotten so far. There's this this directory, which is always the name of the source host, and inside that directory, wait a minute. Inside that directory, you will have a few auxiliary files which were created by my script. In order to memorize the info it has gotten. It creates the subdirectories. Let's look at the win first. Inside there are subdirectories for each driver. Let's look at the that one. As you can see. And inside that subdirectory is the subdirectory 2, or probably 3, if both versions of the files are there, of the drivers are there, like maybe here. Yes, here are 2 and 3. And the problem for a lot of people is that with when they try to install a driver and it is a version 2 driver, and they also see there's a version 3 driver, you can find that they use the same names, but they are different files. And if you mix that up because you download the files somehow in, and it is not separated in, into different subdirectories, the one overrides the other, it will install successfully if you use RPC client. It will probably download successfully to the Windows client, but it will not work. You will get all sorts of errors. Anyway, let's look if it is finished. Yes, it took 7 minutes, and we could now, where's that, my, we could now run RPC client against the Knoppix again to ask for all the drivers. I grabbed for the name. Oops. And you see all the drivers are here. Now, how much time do I have I left? 5 minutes? So we could probably test one of the drivers if it installs. Go back to the Windows machine. I don't know why it didn't find the Knoppix. Probably...
You have 10 minutes, sorry. You have 10 minutes.
I have 10 minutes, okay. Okay, first of all, you see all the shares which are currently in the Knoppix. My home directory, of course, and then this PDF share, which was created. And the folder for the printers and faxes. And you have one printer here, which is a shared printer. Now, I see often people who try to install the driver here. And sometimes it works and sometimes not. If you try it inside that folder, it works more often. I don't know why. Jerry might know, but I don't know why. That's my experience. And my preferred way to do it is not double-clicking or something, but really go into that folder, right-click, and say connect. But I don't do it now. I go to the server properties and look how many drivers are there. These are all the drivers which were uploaded by my script. They were previously, it would have been empty. Okay. What you should do if you want to download a printer driver the first time from a Samba server, you should connect to the Samba server from a Windows client station with administrative credentials. You should be a printer admin for Samba, a printer admin, and you should do the first download as the printer admin, because you need to have a few things in place so that it works for normal users also reliably. And one thing is, you should try to connect and get the printer driver properties. If you see here or wherever, for instance, if you don't see this button, default settings or whatever it is in English, if you don't see it, you're probably not a printer admin. You're a normal user. And you should go as a printer admin to that tab, to the advanced or extended or whatever it is called, and set default values. Well, it's not so much that you should set default values, but that you should execute the driver code once. Because what you do now is execute the driver code. The driver code is not yet downloaded, but it is temporarily downloaded. Is that correct? Because I've not yet installed it. Yes. So it uses the temporary copy of the files, but the driver might not be correctly initialized. Cherry calls it setting the device mode, the correct device mode. That's what we need to do now. It's very important to do it. One suggested method is just say from portrait to landscape and change back. This little bit of changing will execute the driver code, set the device mode, and the apply button here will write already back the data to the Samba server. If you look at it in the log file, if you increase the log level, or if you look at it with Ethereal, you'll see a lot of traffic going back and forth. But now, if you've done that, and you need to do it now for all drivers, my script doesn't do that. It can't do that. It could still fail to install the drivers or the printers. But you are more likely to have all your users succeed if you follow this ritual. Okay? It's still not installed, but I'll install it now. Because you can look, there's no driver here which says PDF service at Knoppix. But install it by right-clicking and say connect, and you should see it having appeared here, but I don't see it. Where is it? Do you see it? Yes, here. And now, one other important thing. A lot of people complain they can't get Samba to use A4 in Europe. It always uses letter. Well, that's because they might have used on the KUB side a PBD which is defaulting to letter, and they're getting that. So how do you change it? Very often, it's very natural if you open that and see the general tab and see printer settings that you click here, and you're an administrator and you click here and you do some settings like the resolution, because the new thing with that PBD is it uses a few settings which are useful for PDF generation. The next next version of that PBD will probably support much more, because GoScript version 8, which will soon be released under the GPL, has a better support for PDF. It uses the set distill params functions or parameters which were defined by Adobe, where you can create PDFs which are suitable for prepress work and such. And GoScript supports most of them. So if we write a new PPD which will support those options to be selected, that next version of the Samba PDF printer will also support those. Anyway, it is very natural that you try to set up things here and that you try to set up A4 here, and then you save it, and you think you've done everything correct, and the next user calls you and says, for me it is still letter. But you as an admin say, for me it's A4, I don't understand that. Well, it's easy, because there's two things. There's this setting, and now look, here the other tab has another thing, which is also settings. And these are two different dialogues. They're looking very much the same. They've just a different header. And if you are on that one, if you see somewhere a screenshot and compare that guy has been doing that setting here, you will not know how did he arrive at that screenshot. Well, the one is what the admin does and sets as a default for all users who from now on download that driver. And the other one is the personal setting for the user. So if the admin does it on the general tab, he will have done his personal setting as an admin. But if he does it on the advanced or extended tab or whatever it's called in English, he will have done it for all users. Normal users can't even access it. Okay, these are some very important points for Samba printing. I hope you'll find that script useful, and I hope you'll play with it once you get the CD. And I hope I get not many bug reports, but I hope I get an improvement and not too much criticism about how I did the shell code, because it's my first bigger shell script, and I've done a lot of weird things to work around my non-knowledge of shell commands and replace them with ones which work. It might be, for a guru, it might be a very weird thing, but it works. Okay, thanks. Questions?
For the PDF service printer, you need a CUPS backend. What do you use as a CUPS backend for the PDF service? Because as you look around in the internet, there are several CUPS backend for creating PDF. Do you write your own?
I've written my own. Not completely. Since 3 years, there's at printing.kde.org. There's a backend which is a very simple shell script. I've just extended that a bit.
Okay.
That was the initial thing about all those backends. All the other versions are basically based on that, but they have been done in Python and in Perl, and even in C there's one. So this one is the shell script one.
Other questions?
What Windows printer drivers are used to drive the CUPS PDF conversion, converting from Windows, metafile things into PostScript, I presume. What's used for that stage?
Well, we can look at it. What is it? We can look at it from the Windows side. Go into that folder, go into the server properties, go on to drivers, look if we see the PDF service somewhere. PDF service, look at the properties, and you'll get listed all the driver files here. And these are the CUPS PostScript drivers for Windows clients. It only works for clients from NT and later. It doesn't work for Windows 98. For Windows 98, we would have to use the old Adobe PostScript drivers. Well, the advantage of this is the version 5, which is only release candidate 3 currently and has still some problems. Mainly, one known problem is with printing PDFs in landscape and portrait mode. But that driver will become a version 3 driver in the next few, I don't know, weeks or months.
So you don't know the time frame on improvements to that driver, because I actually ran that driver for a while, and not being able to print landscape was rather an issue.
This one, which says 5.
Yeah, 5 RC3.
That's a known problem, but if you... I don't know, the old one, which doesn't have the 5 in there, it should still be somewhere available, otherwise I can send you.
Okay. I have to move back to the Adobe drivers.
That problem. But what this driver is, it is based on the Microsoft PostScript driver.
Mm.
And if you own a license of Visual C++ and get a driver or device development kit from Microsoft, you find this source code and you are allowed to use it to develop your own drivers. So that's what the CUPS people have used. They've used that code as a basis and modified it to put some IPP job attributes into that driver and some other things which make it useful for, in place of the Adobe driver, where the Adobe driver does a few things which are not really supported on CUPS. But they can't release the full source code, but what they are going to do is releasing the diff in the source code, so everybody who has got this DDK could look into it and recompile it or whatever. So this is free as in free beer, but not free as in GPL.
Do you plan any release of this driver for the older version of Windows, like 98?
No.
It's only for 2K and NT, XP, and so on.
For 98, you will have to use the Adobe driver.
Uh-huh. Okay, thanks.
I have one question myself. How many RPC client calls are you making to get, let's say, 50 drivers?
How many?
RPC calls. Or?
I think it was only 2. It was only 2 to get the drivers. Well, to get the list. And then a lot of shell scripting, which divides all those different files into chunks and creates the subdirectories. And after the subdirectories are created, from every subdirectory, I make an SMB client call to get exactly those driver files which are located.
I'm asking this question. What would happen if you would write a multi-threaded program just to really...
What if you...
Write not a shell script, but a real multi-threaded program to try to get all this data almost simultaneously.
I don't think it will be much faster, but probably more reliable. I don't know.
I'm asking the summer developers. What would happen to a summer serve if you do that?
Nothing weird.
Oh, if you have a multi-threaded client, but it's still using the same TCP session, then you'll just have one SMBD process that will be single-threaded in block. So the bottleneck will actually be on the server. If you did multiple, the Windows printing code is a little bit racy. There's race conditions in it. If you try to install drivers at the same time, it's easy to step on each other. So I'm not sure. 7 minutes is pretty amazing to do all that anyway, so I'm not sure the effort of doing any sort of speed-ups on it. I'm not sure I would actually do it.
You only do it once normally.
Yeah.
And then you're done. But just to show you how this is the print dollar share on Windows and how Windows has organized the driver files, because you will see the same structure here. You will have the subdirectories 2 and 3, but if you look into 3, it's all a flat thing with all the driver files belonging to different drivers, and it's very difficult to sort that out. And one thing to find out which driver file belongs to a certain driver name is this RPC client command with NUM drivers 3. And the other one is to print the test page on the printer and not just look at it. Has it come out? Okay, away with it. But look, it lists all the driver files also.
Okay, we have to stop now. Thanks, Kurt, for your efforts. We'll make a break of 10 minutes. Afterwards, we have a small change. The first talk will not be given because there was a baby born and he had other things to do. But Steve French will give a talk about SIFs afterwards. Thanks. See you in 10 minutes. Yeah.